Sanusha, very good morning to you. I hope you're keeping well. Welcome.
Good morning. I am well. Thank you so much.
76% of Canadians want a Huawei 5G ban after two Michaels release.
Yeah, that story has been trending from late 2019. So if you remember, in 2019, the Chinese had essentially charged the two individuals, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spava, for spying. Now, this came after the Canadians had arrested the Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou, who essentially was accused by the U.S. in terms of spying as well. And, of course, there was an extradition treaty or extradition charge that was issued, and the Canadian government had basically put her in house arrest, partial house arrest. So earlier this month, or not so long after, I think July this year, they reached an agreement between Canada and the U.S. as well as China to say that she could be released and sent back to China. And of course, the Chinese then decided that they will release the two Michaels as they are known. And this comes in the sense that the Chinese have been in this kind of PR battle around 5G, because if you remember, the Trump presidency was quite adamant to push the trade war into making sure that Chinese companies didn't necessarily get contracts in 5G networks. That was the tension with Europe and, of course, Canada as well. So the Canadians now have decided, in the survey that was carried out, Canadians have said that they don't want the Chinese company Huawei to have any kind of dealings in their 5G. And of course, the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, has to make a decision about whether this will be allowed. The Chinese, on the other hand, are claiming that there shouldn't be any kind of discrimination against the company, because it is a global company. It follows global safety measures. Its products are quite reliable and so forth. So this diplomatic spat is really around the trade war. It's really around pushing the Chinese company, particularly Huawei, out of the 5G network. It's about trying to secure these networks in terms of what they see as China trying to use, these companies trying to use the networks for enabling China to be a much bigger player and have a bigger footprint there. But again, it's this kind of hostage diplomacy that essentially has led to these kinds of tensions coming out of the Trump era as well.
Now, if we look at Maria Ressa's Nobel Peace Prize win, President Duterte is silent as the Philippine journalists rejoice.
Yeah, this is a big story for the Philippines. I mean, Filipino journalists have been having not had a good time, particularly because they've been tracking tracking the president's war against drugs and the kind of extrajudicial killings that were happening, but also in terms of how his style of presidency has been very gung-ho. So this Nobel Peace Prize actually is quite important because it recognizes the freedom of information. It recognizes that democracy and the role of the media is critical. And, of course, it's the first time that a Filipino journalist has won this together with her Russian counterpart. Now, she started a newspaper called Rappler, which is an online digital newspaper that tracks this kind of challenges in terms of freedom of expression. It writes stories about what's going on in the country. And, of course, it actually is not something that the outgoing President Duterte likes, because he's a very kind of a gung-ho, a very kind of aggressive president in terms of that. So as one of the journalists has said, you know, they're congratulating Duterte for actually Maria Ressa for winning the Nobel Peace Prize for Journalism, because they're saying that he's put Philippines on the map in terms of the idea of what's going on in the country, and also in terms of showing that democracy, the freedom of expression, civil liberties, freedom of information are all critical dimensions and norms with regard to what's happening in the country and exposing what's happening in the country. Now, whether or not these journalists have been actually experiencing a lot of crackdown as well. So I think this is an important recognition in terms of what's happening, and also recognizing that the world is watching in terms of the democratic processes in the Philippines.
And then finally, the billionaire founder of Alibaba, Jack Ma, reappears in Hong Kong. What's the story there?
Well, Jack Ma, it's a very interesting one. Towards the end of last year, Jack Ma made a speech in which he criticized the Chinese Communist Party. He spoke about the freedom of movement, the independence of the private sector, and that got him into a lot of trouble with the Chinese Communist Party. So he kind of went into a muted space. And he was seen in January this year. He's made fleeting appearances around. But as a result of that speech he gave in Shanghai, there's been this, well, analysts are trying to draw a correlation and say that this has been a relationship where the Chinese government has cracked down on tech firms and big data firms, particularly those that are in the gig economy. And so in March this year, the tech company that he co-owns called Ant was supposed to do a big initial public offering. It was going to be the biggest, I think, in global terms. And of course, that was withdrawn due to pressure from the Chinese state. Also, the Chinese government has been cracking down on these companies because they are very scared about how this will impact on their PR, how these big companies, particularly looking at the West as well, have become almost power brokers and powerhouses unto themselves. So this has been the ongoing kind of issue that has been circling Jack Ma, who owns the one of the biggest Chinese companies, and I think in global terms as well, Alibaba. Now, interestingly enough, the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, has been talking a lot about common prosperity. And so there seems to be this idea or this implication or assessment that Jack Ma is being brought into line, and his latest appearance in Hong Kong was also about donating to common prosperity, because the Chinese are very conscious about how the big tech companies, but also big corporates, have become quite away from the state. They kind of like basically they're trying to address inequality, and they feel that big companies are not doing enough. So this is kind of like a lesson around how they're trying to rein in the companies, but also these billionaires.
All right. Sanusha, as always, thank you so much for the update.
Welcome. Take care. Have a great day.